This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Joy 94.9.
Different Strokes Joycast.
Sponsored by MyMac.
The best Apple computer, iPod, and Apple accessory store in Australia.
MyMac.com.au.
For hundreds of years, anthropologists have studied the social relationships of human beings. And none have been more confounding than what they call the Different Strokes Effect.
Get it?
Meet Jade Gulliver, a charmingly low-maintenance, amicable sci-fi fan and avid podcaster. And David Lim, a top model strutting, goldfish-loving, walking jukebox. So, can you handle the difference? Get ready for Different Strokes.
Because it takes different strokes to move the world. Yes, it does. It takes different strokes to move the world.
You're listening to Different Strokes on Joy 94.9 with Jade and Dave. SEB, if I can't dance. Now, she just loves to use dance, doesn't she?
I am of the opinion that if people don't hear her singing that word, they might not actually know it's Sophie Ellis-Bextor.
Okay.
Well, for people like you, anyway, one day I'm going to slip a song by her in where she doesn't mention the word dance.
I would be very much appreciative of that, Dave. So basically, when you were talking about Britpop, before I cursed you out for using the term Britpop, you said you're basically talking about British pop, which is any popular music that's created by British artists. It's not restrictive in terms of a particular genre. It's not a style. There's no sound. You know, there's not these long Wikipedia entries examining every aspect of what it was and when it declined and all that kind of stuff. So it can be anything from Paul McCartney to Sugar Babes. Now, Paul McCartney was a member of the Beatles, which, you know, highly influenced Oasis, which we'll play a bit later on. So there is kind of that correlation yet again. But it can be boppy or a little bit electro. So it can be anything, anything at all. But, okay, so our focus for the show, though, is the stuff that you talk about all the time, Dave. So you love basically anything that's British and pop in this sort of decade or so.
That's right.
And those artists are Girls Aloud and Sugar Babes, the people that you scream about every week that are getting enough attention. You know, Sophie Ellis-Bextor, you like Mika?
I like Mika, yes, yeah. I do, yeah.
The Saturdays, who you play on this show.
Do you even know who the Saturdays are?
They're the ones that kind of sound like Girls Aloud.
Gold Star Sticker.
Yes.
OMG. I'm writing outstanding achievement. I'm giving you a little certificate.
I want a little smiley face.
A little smiley face. Yeah, put that up on your office wall. Yeah.
Spice Girls, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Do Spice Girls count as this decade? Are they over?
Oh, come on. They reformed.
Okay.
Did a crappy single that no one bought. That counts, right?
All Saints.
They reformed in this
again,
decade as
here's
well.
Another correlation. So Liam Gallagher from Oasis was married to, what's her name?
Natalie or Nicole Appleton from
Nicole
All
Appleton
Saints.
From All Saints.
Didn't the brothers, both brothers, marry both sisters?
I don't think
I'm
they
not
did.
Sure.
No, I don't think they did. I think Liam definitely married one of
and
the
they helped
sisters.
Produce the Appleton solo album anyway.
In any case, and Pet Shop Boys, and of course Rachel Stevens from S Club 7.
She's like one of those solo British pop artists that I just love to bits.
I didn't even realize that S Club 7 were British.
Disbanding. Yeah, they are.
I thought that they were actually American. Anyways, so it's you say that it's about pop artist with character, even though there's always this thing about, you know, they're manufactured. There's nothing, you know, there's nothing authentic about them. Like, Dave, the thing that when we first met, the thing that I really liked about you is that you analysed pop music in a way that I've never met anyone before that analyzed pop music. Like, and you totally gave it credibility. And yeah, that's so. I think it's quite interesting that you will to the end of the earth defend any pop musician.
I mean, I love pop music. So the particular artist that I have actually mentioned there, mm-hmm. so sort of like this. Girls Aloud, for instance, I'll take Girls Aloud mm-hmm. as an example. They don't write their own music. Okay, a lot of people call them manufactured because they just work with one massive production team called Xenomania. Mm-hmm. And Xenomania itself, it's like a production writing team. I think there's about at least 10 of them there.
Okay.
So every time you check out a song, you wonder why one piece of music has so many different verses, so many different choruses and all that. It's because 10 different people wrote it. And it's sort of like assembly line pop. Okay, but I absolutely resent it when people call it manufactured because, you know, yes, it's a hit driven market. You know, mm-hmm. they're here to make pop music, but that doesn't mean it's not authentic. Just because they have certain strategies or certain work ethic around accomplishing music doesn't mean that they didn't make it from their heart. Do you know what I'm saying?
So with Girls Aloud, for example, how do they get together?
They were formed on a reality TV show. I think it's called Pop Stars The Rivals.
Okay, so they're just chucked together.
They were chucked together, yes. They were created per se.
Okay.
But they've been around for what?
How many years now? With these, the pop production teams, do they write the verses with those particular artists in mind, or is it just like we're writing a pop song that's going to be catchy and whoever sings it, sings it?
I think they know they'll be writing for Girls Aloud. You know,
okay.
They've been working with Xenomania from pretty much the start. So they've almost created a sound for Girls Aloud. So I can't imagine them not working together.
Because you know, I'll often hear a song and I'll be like, okay, well, that kind of sounds like something that probably Kelly Clarkson and Avril Lavigne are a good example of this.
Mm.
Like I'll hear Kelly Clarkson sing a song and I'll be like, oh, that sounds like something Avril Lavigne might sing.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's like, it's kind of like, oh, well, maybe that person wrote it for Avril Lavigne, but it's not being
sung down
by Kelly Clarkson.
Yeah, exactly. I can understand where that's coming from, but at the end of the day, a good song is a good song. And people, you know, talk a lot about how Girls Aloud don't write their own music.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, do actors write their own scripts? You know?
Okay. So you just
it's about the interpretation,
okay.
I think.
Okay, so you
gotta give props there.
They do their own interpretation.
However simple it might seem to, you know, the average folk.
Mm-hmm.
And there's been a lot of, I mean, there's the indie community sort of rising up against Girls Aloud and they're constantly attacking these so-called manufactured girl bands and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And I found it very interesting because I think sometime maybe 2 years ago, Girls Aloud did a B-side called Hoxton Heroes. It was actually a response to the indie community,
mm-hmm.
You know, calling them manufactured and all that. And they're just like, well, how many records have you sold? It's at the end of the day, I think they work hard to get to where they are. It's not as simple as here's the lyrics, just sing this.
Yeah.
They tour a lot. They work very hard for what they do. So I think, you know, at the end of the day, let's not get too hung up about who wrote the songs.
Have they ever toured here?
No. Oh, they did come once.
Yeah.
I'm kicking myself that I never went, to be honest.
Because they'll never come back?
Nah, they probably never will come back.
They're not even going to do one of those in-store appearances or anything like that?
Nah, I don't think so.
Okay.
I love it how iTunes in Australia, they're doing something called hit packs.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, no one's heard of Girls Aloud in this country except maybe one song or two.
Yeah.
So they've packaged like a small bundle, maybe about 5 of their best singles, leading with that one track that most Australians will probably know by Girls Aloud. And they're packaging as a hit pack. And they're doing it for Sophie Ellis-Bextor as well. So a lot of my favourite British pop artists that don't get enough radio airplay.
5 songs, including the word dance.
Yeah. Might show up more than once.
Another producer that you mentioned is Richard X. And you talk about Richard X quite a lot on this show.
I love Richard X as a producer. I mean, he's got a very... He's an electropop producer, but he's... His productions sound very bootleg, which mm-hmm. I love. So it always sounds like he's sampling a bit of this and a bit of that, but you can never quite know sometimes what's being thrown into the mix.
What do you think it is about British pop? What is it? Why are they doing well? Why are they doing it well?
Because I really don't understand why. If you're looking at the main markets like America, Australia and the UK.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it that they've got such a high concentration of, you know, girl bands or boy bands or whatnot there that's actually making decent hits there?
Mm-hmm.
why isn't that happening in Australia? Where's our boy bands? Where are our girl bands?
You know? Even in even in America, it seems like the boy bands and stuff that they've got are just like the old school bands from the 90s, like Backstreet Boys and that will get back together or something. I mean, yeah. New Kids on the Block got back together recently.
And then that's where they might turn up in a top 20.
Yeah.
But you don't really see new boy bands or...
No.
Girl bands now, they don't stay very long, do they?
No. I mean, what's the McCords? Destiny's Child broke out, you know.
Pussycat Dolls, I mean.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I think there's something about maybe British music culture that just embraces pop music in that way.
So are these bands really successful in Britain? Are they, like, actually getting hits?
They are getting hits.
Okay, like, so they're number ones?
Oh, well, we're not saying number ones, but we'll take the example of Girls Aloud. For instance, mm-hmm. every song they've released, except for the last one, mm-hmm. every song they've released, so about 20 singles consecutively all ended up in a top 20.
Okay.
So, I mean, that's a pretty fair record. You know, we're talking 20 singles.
And, I mean, you've got this, you love to read pop blogs.
Yeah, I do.
And you love to write your own pop blogs, of course. And so there is... You know, these days it's not about necessarily about magazines. It's all about blogs, you know, with videos and, you know, all these kind of following so-and-so on Twitter. They said this, that's it, this, you know, check out this single, do this, I found this, you know. So it's actually changed a lot. There's like more day-to-day type stuff about these artists.
Yeah. I mean, remember we were talking about Britpop before and we said Loaded magazine sort of spawned around that lad culture, Britpop era. It still carries on. It stands very much as a press on its own right now, mm-hmm. as a publication. But, you know, the blog that I frequent a lot for my British pop news is Pop Justice, which I'm sure a lot of people out there know of Pop Justice. It's interesting because, you know, when I was growing up, I used to read smash hits and all that.
Mm-hmm.
There ain't no smash hits these days. You know, if people want pop music news and gossip, they go online.
I was devastated when he told me that.
That... There's no more smash hits.
Yeah.
I know how much you used to look forward to your Aaron Carter posters.
No, but back when smash hits, when I was younger, smash hits didn't have Aaron Carter in it. But anyways, I'm way too old for Aaron Carter. You seem to forget that. But you're also, you know, talking about how, you know, people like Sam Sparrow or Gabriella Chilmi will go overseas to the UK to start their careers first. But that happens in indie music as well, though.
Does it really? I mean, what's an indie band, an Australian indie band that's made it big overseas first?
The Waifs. I think Jet were big in...
Really? I always thought Jet started off big here first.
Who else is another one? God, there's stacks of them. There really is, really? When you think about it. If you want to text in with your examples, there are heaps of examples of indie musicians who... Sia...
Oh, really? I kind of thought Sia was big here first, but maybe by the time she was big in Australia, I set up.
Yeah, she was already big over there.
That's really bizarre.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe there's something about our receptiveness to new music and new artists.
Yes.
There's something to be said about that.
Yeah.
Maybe there's not enough hype. Because they always hype up new, you know, pop groups and all that. Like Fascination Records, which is the record label that looks after Girls Aloud and Sophie Ellis Bextor.
Mm-hmm.
They created a new girl group called Girls Can't Catch, I think, sometime this year, actually end of last year.
Mm-hmm.
So they kind of thought, okay, well, the Saturdays were really successful because they launched the Saturdays as well.
Okay.
So throw together another girl group now. And it's just, it seems like they're, you know, there is a market for that. Yep. There is a particular record label out there in the UK that looks after this and you know, supplies this demand for boy or girl band pop.
Mm-hmm.
And I just feel like we need that here in Australia.
But what's an example of boy bands? I don't feel like there's many.
In the UK?
Yeah.
JLS, they came off X Factor.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. That's another one.
Boy bands is such a 90s thing.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Maybe it's the choreography they need to, I don't know. I always love cheesy boy band choreographies.
Yeah.
That was the highlight for me.
Bring back Five any day.
Bring back Five.
Joy 94.9.
Different Strokes Joycast.
Sponsored by MyMac.
The best Apple computer, iPod and Apple accessory store in Australia.
MyMac.com.au.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.